أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد آتيناك سبعا من المثاني والقرآن العظيم. لا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به لنفتنهم فيه ورزق ربك خير وأبقى. وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها لا نسألك رزقا والعاقبة للتقوى. صدق الله العظيم.
ما شاء
الله.
حلو
حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو
حلو حلو حلو حلو
حلو حلو حلو
حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو
حلو حلو حلو حلو حلو
You don't need to be shy. This is a Khanka madrasa, we can ask you shy. All of us are supposed to know Nazar. Ya Allah. Maridani is madrasa Arabiya Islam. Aswan Arabic.
Anybody ready to sing Arabic?
They're all scared of the Urdu Makharij.
This is Yusuf Desai from Durban, from the Imam of Najib Hilal, which is the Margaret, the Biri Margaret in Durban. Ashallah, Murana is teaching Kitabs also. Murana teaches Hibs also, I'm sure Maktab also. And Mashallah, Murana does a lot of social work as well. Many people come to him with their problems, Mashallah. A lot of work is taking place, Mona. Inshallah, let us talk.
Masjid al-Hilal is the markaz in Durban. So if you ever land up in Durban, keep on a samba. You make sure a special khidmat is made of the jama.
So come on a Friday night. Friday night is free chow, free accommodation. Shop is on event. Brothers, may I come forward, inshallah, put it closer. The voice is about this. So too long. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. وقال تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الدنيا حلوة خضرة وإن الله مستخلفكم فيها فينظر كيف تعملون. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Beloved students and friends, this is no bayan, this is just a mudhakara, muraja'a for a lesson we learned from our beloved Sheikh, Qadhim Abdul Hamid Sahib, Dama Barakatuhum, our principal, our Sheikh, our Ustaz. And this is just an informal discussion, a reminder for all of us. We all were students at one day, and we will always be students. When Abdullah Mulvi, my beloved Ustaz, mentioned to me one time, he said, Mawlana, no matter what kitab you are teaching, when you go to class to teach, regard yourself as a student. And sit in class like how you used to sit in class as a student. Don't think you're an Ustaz now, so you can sit like an Ustaz, but sit like a student also. And you won't stop learning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us here today, alhamdulillah. He has gathering. Because we have some fikr, some concern in our hearts. We have some fikr, some concern in our hearts. Maybe somebody came by the way to see what's the bayan about, what is the program about. But for those that have come with no intention, make some intention. That after this bayan, I must return with something in my heart. According to my talab and my desire, according to how much I open my heart and my ears, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, akramul akrameen, the most kind, will fill my heart with something at least. Allahumma la turuddana khaibin. Oh Allah, must not return us that we are empty handed. Khalidil khali hat. But Allah ta'ala, give us something at least. Allah ta'ala, give us something at least. An iota of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and what they enjoyed. The youth also, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what they enjoyed. So the first point I'd like to mention is that we as youth, as youngsters of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where we find from all angles around the world, whichever sphere, faculty, department of life they may be, everybody's eyes is upon the youth. Everyone's eyes upon the youth. If we got the youth in our hand, then we can set the trend. We can change history. We can set the future. Because we say the youth is the future. The youth is the future. So everybody's eyes in the youth. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had his eyes in the youth. So for us to understand, as being part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is my value? Allah ta'ala created me one person in this whole ummah, in this whole world. What is my value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We as young men, we understand the value of things. The person is carrying an S3 and that person has an S4. We know the value, what is the difference. We know all the features, the inside, the outside. We know the different cars also. This is a later model, earlier model. The value of things, we know. These things affect our eyes. We know the value. We know the qeemat. We know how much it is worth. Youngsters nowadays are already dealing in phones, cell phones, buying and selling. Whether in the madrasa, out of the madrasa, somehow they're doing it. So we know the value of things, how they're operating. But when it comes to my value, what is my value? I might think I'm an insignificant person in the whole world. Nobody knows me. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have a value attached to you. You have a value attached to you. What is my value? And this value, the people out there have recognized. They have recognized it is why? Within the four walls of the madrasa, they're still making an effort to corrupt the youth in the madrasa also. Because you know the value of this. They know the value. So I'm going to know first what is my value in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether I'm in Darul, whether I'm in school, whether I'm in university, whether outside in the world. When I'm walking on the street, from above Allah ta'ala has attached a value to my being, to my head. What is my price? So for us to understand, we see in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bukhari Sharif, the Nabi of Allah mentioned in regards to the value of a believer, that Qiyamah will not come until there's one person saying, Allah, Allah. Until there's one mu'min banda taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows nothing else. Doesn't know any salah, no Quran. He just knows his one Allah only. Your ulama explained that only one person left. Understand now, because of this one person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep the whole world running. All the airports of the world, all the big corporations, and the manufacturing plants, import, export, whatever it may be in the world, what we regard as big, the stock exchange, and this exchange, and the rand, and the dollar, everything else, everything will continue because of one mu'min. Because of one mu'min. We understand this now, that the kuffar booking their trips here and there, they're flying first class, business class, holidays, and all this enjoyment so-called they are enjoying. And their lifestyle, and their high-class lifestyle, and the fancy cars, and the fast life, and the skyscrapers, and all these things over here, they'll be enjoying all of this because of one mu'min. The day he is gone, sab khatam. Everything is gone. Everything is gone. That is my value and your value. If you understand this now, we'll understand that all that is happening outside the madrasa, outside in the world, is all happening because of you and I. Because of the day we are gone, everything is finished. They are eating and drinking, they are merrymaking, they are enjoying, they are moving in the world. They start of eating, dressing, sleeping, holidays, the beaches, and everything else, all because of you and I. Because Allah Ta'ala has put value to us. But how we haven't understood our own value. I see how they are eating, that is my aspiration now. What kind of phone he is using, that's my aspiration. What car he is driving, that's because my aspiration. That's where I want to get to. How he's flying this class and that class? If I many people now, they're coming off an aeroplane. Bishara, let me fly economy class. Now when we're coming out, people are taking photos of the first class, the business class. Look at the seat. Look at the TV screen he has over there. Because we aspire, one day I want to get over here now. Then you walk past the stroll lounge in the airport, you see one day I'll also get in there too, in the stroll lounge. I can relax over there. Right now I'm going to sit on one chair outside, I hardly can sleep. But all of they enjoy because of you and I. But we want now to become like them. How they live their life, away from deen, the holidays they are enjoying so called, the types of food, and how they're chilling and they're relaxing, etc. I want to do the same thing. But if you understand now what is my value, as a mu'min and a Muslim, that I am the fashion setter. I am the trend setter. And my brand name till Qiyamah is Sunnat. There was one Jamaat Sadiq that came once from India, and he gave a talk in the Markaz. And he's saying now, when he was in his youth, in his young days, he said every 5 to 10 years, the fashion was changing. He says now in the 60s at that time, the fashion probably that time was the bell bottoms. I don't know if you heard about the bell bottoms. It was big bottoms, the pants. So everyone was wearing big bottoms. He said after a few years, the bell bottoms went out of fashion, I had to change my whole cupboard now. He said, give the narrow bottoms, top bottoms. You hardly can put into it. So half an hour takes now just to put the pants on only. Like our Hazrat says now, that you can wear your pants on of three ways. One, you can hang your pants between two chairs and take a run up and jump into it. So in fact, almost another decade they had to do that, because you can't put into it. But that was the fashion. He said after a few years, that changed. And then came the corduroys. I know you heard about the corduroys. Came the corduroys. So then that changed. I've changed my whole cover again. And then came the safari suits. So finally, the Jama'at brothers caught me. They took me in Jama'at. And then he says, my garb changed to the sunnah. And for so many years, no change. Till my death. Nabi of Allah set the fashion already. He set the trend already. Till Qiyamah. This is my tariqah. Hadi sabili. This is my tariqah. And this will remain the same till Qiyamah. But you see now, they have the eyes on us. That's why Hazrat says now, to dress like a pious person is easy. But to have taqwa and piety inside is something else. Like in Durban, we've got Mr. Simtek. I know you heard about him. He has a nice advert. He says that if the CD doesn't work, maybe my boss can help you out. He can change the CD for you. But when he comes to the CD of the heart, if it's blank or something is recorded incorrectly, and you go in the qabr, no boss is going to help you. You can't go and change the CD after that. So the inside now we have to make this before we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the biggest deception When it comes to us, you see now the rest, they have this thing that enjoy life. They have now, the first you're an infant, you see in the cereal box infant, see there's so many years. And then you have adolescence, then you have youth. What do you have after that? Age of minority, majority. Then you can vote at 18, then you get your passport at this age, and you can get your ID at that age. Before that, you're still small. You're still a child. But in Sharia, there's no concept now of all these stages. Either you're a baligh or you're not baligh. Once you become of age, now you're totally answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see, when you go to school, the first question they pose to us, among the first questions they pose to us, what are you going to become? What are you going to do in life? That one question, what are you going to do in life, what are you going to become, enslaves a person for how many years? 20 years, 25 years. What are you going to become? Meaning, what are you going to eat? Where are you going to sleep? What are you going to drive? So in that one question, now they made us slaves of dunya. And what Allah Ta'ala has made us for, that we have forgotten. Has become a side issue. So it's important as us, as part of the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to understand that how do I contribute? And where do I fit in this whole thing? If this is my value, then if I understand my value as a mu'min, then I will have this in my heart that every person will become like me. Whether he is Peter or John outside, wherever he may be from, whether I walk in the airports of the world, whether I'm sitting in the plane, wherever it may be, wherever I go in the world, maybe there will be a holiday also, but they have to become like me. They have to follow my style. Because on the day of Qiyamah, this is the only thing that will help them. This we have to convince ourselves from within. That the Sunnah way is the only way. Is the only way. Otherwise you will find the trends out there waiting to catch us. A youngster goes for a haircut, the barber makes a mistake, becomes a hairstyle. He cut one side, becomes a hairstyle. Person put his socks in the washing, the socks shrunk, became to the ankle, then became a style, also half socks. Person fell down the street, the jeans became torn, became a fashion. And it took on like this. And we bichara as mu'min, as believers, as ummatis, we see this, yeah, you've got to wear socks like this. To look cool, I've got to wear socks like this. And I've got to wear a t-shirt like this. And unfortunately, many of us think, if I dress like this, or I carry myself out like this, that somebody's going to fall for me all of a sudden. No girl will fall for you. It never happened before. That somebody will just fall all of a sudden for you. It doesn't happen. And just on that point also, many a boys, Allah Ta'ala save us, but they get involved in this with girls, whether they be on the Twitter, on the Blackberry, on the WhatsApp, on the email, they get involved. And many youngsters come and say, Ma'ana, I can't sleep now. My sleep is gone. I'm only thinking about her. I can't eat also. My head is not working. And this is the woman I want, woman of my life. Because I'm deeply in love with her. Whereas Quran says, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. After nikah, Allah Pak says love. Not before nikah. What the youngster says, I'm madly in love with her. My head is not working. So I ask him, by that love, who created you? Allah Ta'ala or Shaitan? Allah Pak says, after nikah, but you sing love before nikah. So I don't know where that muhabbat has come from. This is not muhabbat, it's not love. It's all love, what do you say, puppy love. Shaitan has amplified it. Shaitan makes you look nice and sweet. But it's a trap. It's a trap. Like how the Dajjal, when he'll come, he'll show you Jannat. But reality will be Jahannam. So he's showing you now your Jannat in this world. Here's his young girl. She'll make you your Jannat. But the day he makes Nakahtuha wa Qabiltuha, then already she says, Tabahtuka. That will slaughter you. Then everything is finished. Once he makes halal, all the majai is gone. Shaitan now backs out. He says, nah, it's halal, now it's no more fun. I'm telling you, many people have come. I say, Mawala, I can't live without you. I need to marry. Once he marries, he says, Nahtuwa, he doesn't make tawbah, istighfar, then it's finished. But these traps Shaitan has made out there for us to get involved. But we have to stick strong to Sharia. You see, I want to give a beautiful example. And he says that there was a lion that grew up with the sheep. And living with the sheep, they're making meh meh. So the lion also became making meh meh. And the sheep eating also grass, the lion eating grass. You see a lion eating grass, you see Mohab Bimar. The lion is very sick. He used to check himself up. So a lion from the jungle came and saw this cub and told this cub, you know what, you are very sick. You need ICU treatment very quickly. He says, why? He says, here you got samosas and bhajiyas to eat, the sheep, but you're eating grass. You're vegetarian, which are we have people out there now, whole life will eat vegetables, no meat they're eating. Their life is coming out thinking they're going to go to Jannah. Allah Ta'ala give them a diet. There are so many of them outside. They don't eat vegetables the whole life, vegetarians. They don't know what is the taste of meat. But this lion also in the same way, he was eating only grass. The big lion told him, there's something is wrong with you. He took him to the pond, to the stream. And he said, I look into the water and see your reflection. It looks like me or like them. He looked inside and said, it looks like you. He said, sir, I'm telling you, you don't belong to them. So the big lion gave a roar. He tells him, now open your lungs and you also roar. So when he opened his mouth and he roared, he says, you're a lion. But you got caught up with this crowd over here. These are actually part of your meal. So as I say, in the same way, we have become those lions. We heard of Saifullah, we heard of Asadullah, the Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu. We were given these titles, the sword of Allah, the lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have become now sheep. Kufar has given a cell phone, we've taken it. Made it our life. The given of cigarettes, one musalli told me one time, he said, Moana, I tell my wife, you can sleep in the next room, but I won't give up my cigarettes. That's my life then. That is my life. So many of us, we find how many youngsters getting involved. I mean, we know how many of us, Allah Ta'ala forgive us. But in our homes, those that should be enjoying the best of our character, our own families, our brothers and sisters, they're getting the worst of our character. And who's getting the best of my character? My chomis, my friends. They're getting the best of it. Some homes we go to, we see a board there on the boys' door, no empty sign. Trespassers will be shot on sight. So who is selling? Who's that referring to? A lighty broom. Day he comes, I open the cupboard, he's in trouble. But my friends can walk in anytime. My door is open. My mother must knock, my father must knock. They build the house, but I put no empty sign for them. Why something to hide in the room? Is something there? If my public life, my private life is open and transparent, is nothing to hide. But my friends can come in anytime. Only a young girl, a young boy prepared to give up their whole family, their whole parents, for their mahram. She's ready to elope with the boy, to give up a father and a mother for something haram. How many of us do? The dead of the night, you prepare to give up everything. Just on one click of the cell phone, of the computer, and we're living in a different world altogether. So for us to take stock, and put a stop now. I say, well, I've got to come right. And every young boy has this in his heart. I want to come right. I want to come right. I want to be pious. Moana says, sometimes the madrasa also, out there, you see, because out there to become bad is cool. To be called wicked, you're top of the list. To be a bad boy, to be a bad girl, they're setting the trend for Dajjal already. Before, nowadays now, to buy a kitten is exciting. You have a kitten at home, a little pet. A lot of people ask him, Moana, can we keep a snake? Can we keep lizards? Can we keep chameleons as pets? People want to keep this nowadays, as pets in their homes. The type of dogs they want to keep also, ferocious dogs. Why do they look evil? They look tough. The way they drive also. The way they drive the car, the youngsters, how you say, you think he's hot. He's not hot, the car is hot. Without the car, he's zero. The car is fast, he's not fast. But because he's driving a GTI, he thinks now, he's the dawn of the town. But take out the car, hey, Mr. Nobody. He's like you and me, be walking. But now see how they've changed your whole concept of life. So every youngster now wants to become pious. It should not be that a friend of mine also become pious, and I make a mock of him. This guy is like a big buzruk now, look at him, he's sufisa, doing long namazes. You make a mock of him. Happens in our madrasa sometimes, happens amongst our friends, I want to change my life. But a person sticks to it. I remember when he comes to a dhikr, when he comes to Quran tilawat, when he comes to sitting with the mashayikh and the ulama ikram, it's not for the heavyweights, for the big buzruks. It's for every single person. Once I become of age, once I am baligh,
already in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am an adult already. I'm not a small boy. You see, Western education, Western concept of life, they will tell you, you are still small, you still young. You still have a long way to go. Then you become responsible. Whereas Sharia is telling us, once you are baligh, even your father is responsible for you. In the sense, he doesn't have to maintain you. We can tell you, he's a dog, but work and support yourself. You'll have to go. So in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once you become of age, you are responsible. You can already father a child. You can get married if you have to, at that age. But see what we think now? I'm still young. I tell the youngsters in madrasa sometime, I say, why were you at the Fajr namaz? I didn't wake up this morning. Say, why? My father also didn't get up. So I say, in the month of Ramadan, if your mother didn't wake up for Seri, you don't want to keep Roza. You still have to keep Roza. You can't tell Allah Ta'ala, my mother was up, so I didn't keep fast. You could answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my father didn't wake up for Fajr namaz, you're going to get caught also, not your father, because you're responsible. Whether you're going to set your alarm, the boy said, I don't hear the alarm also. He said, set 5 alarms like me, you can't wake up in the morning. He said, 5 alarms, he said, that's why I don't hear. I said, well, set the house alarm then. Set the car alarm, it is something will wake you up. I said, some alarm at least, so you get up. So we can't blame our parents. Once a person is baligh, now he's baligh. He's answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he goes in the qabr now, he's going to be asked, مَا رَبُّكْ مَا دِينُكْ. He can't say, ask my father. He was filling the forms, he got passport and ID for me. He flew me over to the country, he did this for me. So ask my father. We are going to be questioned. By the time we are of age, we are going to be questioned about my namaz, my Quran tilawat, how I use my heart, how I use my mind, what fikr of deen I made, what ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I had a contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this has to be nurtured from now. Is that now when I qualify, or when I finish my matric, when I get my degree, then I will settle down, then I will get married, then I will do this, then I will do that. We just go back in history a little bit. Then even the life of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, people have heard like Tariq bin Ziyad, Muhammad bin Qasim. Right, how old were they that time? Not even 20. I'm sure most of us here are below 20 years old. But if you tell me that by when Jamaat is being out, take this Jamaat with Amir Sahib, then we are finished already. We can't be Amir of the Jamaat. Here we have a youngster, 17, 18 years old, that takes a whole army to a foreign country, a whole army to the foreign country. We go immigration officer, we see customs officer, or Pasina, we already perspiring now, customs officer. Alright, here it is a whole Jamaat to a foreign country, Muhammad bin Qasim, rahmatullah alayhi, not even 20 years old. You can imagine now, at that age of 17, 18, those of us that are 17, 18, think in my heart right now, that what can I do for my deen? But look at them, what hearts Allah Ta'ala have given them, how they put themselves forward. How they put what iman they had. But we have all been through school. We're still in matric, 18 years old, we think we're still young. This is a long way to go in life. But look at him at that age already, what a mature mind. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, when he asked his son Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam, فَإِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكْ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Oh my son, I saw myself structuring you my dream. What do you think? Imagine your father tells you that. What do you tell him? Abba, I don't know whether you made wuzu before you slept, whether you had a heavy meal, you had some dal before, or barisa karikli chili or something before you slept, you're seeing nightmares like this. Alright? That's what we'll tell him. With your father, you're saying, my son can't get up for Fajr namaz. Getting him up. He's 15 years old, 17 years old, 18 years old. He can't get up. Here, a young boy, like Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, his father asks him, hey, what should I do about this dream? You know the reply? If عَلْمَا تُؤْمَرُ. That was it. Do as you have been commanded. You will find me from among those that are patient. We got no sabr. My friend got a techie, I wanted yesterday. My friend got this, he upgraded his phone, I wanted already. Whether my father can afford it, he just demands and demands. At one time, he was an somebody gave me a clip that there was a girl, they wrote to the editor, what is the reality of staying in a home? So she says that we are 4 sisters living in a home. Mother and father is there. So she addressed a letter to her father. So each one takes stock of herself. So she tells her father that, dear dad, we have 4 daughters living in our home. As long as you give us airtime money, pocket money, clothing money, and money for food, we are loyal to you, we are here. The day you can't afford it, we'll tell you, bye bye, and we'll move on in life. So what happens now? What this whole Western culture, the whole Western culture, Hazrat says, that our parents are fattening us, giving us clothing, giving us food, giving us the best of life, but our hearts belong to other people. Our hearts belong to them, to the West, to their tariqah, their lifestyle, their aspirations, their dreams. But the parents are just now doing everything for us, but our hearts don't belong to them. So she's saying the same thing also, that what you are doing for us, you may shukriya to you, thank you, but our hearts belong to elsewhere, to other people and other things. So the day we don't get it here, we are gone. This is loyalty to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this now, a young boy gives such a mature reply, that, oh my father, do as you have been commanded. We take the cue from there. Now how many of us, whether we in madrasa, whether we be outside also, when we go back home, father says you get us a fajr namaz. By namaz, by namaz, by namaz. I know you should understand. By the time I'm of age, everything should be set in my life, who holds the tip. But temptations are there. As I was saying now, every one of us wants to become good. You want to become pious. You want to become the sheikh of the time. Definitely, why not? You all aspire for it. You want to reach the top. Your salah becomes easy. Quran becomes easy. And you refrain from haram. Understand something? As it mentions very nicely, he says, for a young man to have a desire in his heart is normal. For a young man to have lust, to have passion, Allah Ta'ala has put it into the heart. That is there. Temptation out there will pull you. It's a natural, remember. It's natural to fight it. We've got to fight it, but it is there. So for that to come into the heart, not to bring it. For that to come into the heart is normal, but to act upon it is haram. Whether you're sitting in a madrasa, whether you're sitting at home, whether you're out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole day we are walking around, the camera is operating, is moving, we're taking pictures of everything. But now at night to entertain the thought of the haram, that is haram. Then to make amal upon it, that's also haram. But for that lust to come in a person, we find the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Alright, when he was purchased and he was taken to the house of Aziz al-Misr, and then he told his wife that he care of this young boy. We can imagine his beauty, his physique, his stature, his body, what Allah Ta'ala had given him. How beautiful he must have been. Alright? And then we have, on the other hand, the woman of the house, Zulaikha. The most beautiful woman of Egypt. Most beautiful woman of Egypt. Usually when I tell youngsters also, the most beautiful woman, it doesn't make sense to them. But if you tell them she was a supermodel, yeah, so now that you can understand what caliber she was. So that now you have two of them alone in the house. She has all the doors locked. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. But she tried to entice him. He was also insan and human. But لَوْلَا أَرَّى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. He saw the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what he did? He turned around and he ran. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ ran. That is our prescription. Temptation will come, the phone is there. She's sending a message. One youngster came to me recently. He said, Moana, I had a contact some years ago, I removed her, somehow she came back again on, I removed her, and she sent me an email, and she is not stopping. There's a struggle I'm going through. I want to give it up, but I can't give it up. Hazrat says, get rid of all the devices. Cut it out. But you know, Hazrat says, now you tell a youngster to give his cell phone away, he's like already half paralyzed. He's already paralyzed, his mind already is like paralyzed, he's like brain dead. I don't have a cell phone, my mind can't work. So he says, get rid of all the devices. I promise you, get rid of it. As difficult as it is, this is the first step. This is the first step. Once you get rid of that already, you see nowadays you don't have to go to the clubs, you don't have to go to the cinema. You've given us the whole thing in our pockets, we have it. And we as ulama, those outside there, huffaz al-ikram also, you see in the old days, they used to have black and white TVs, right? The thing was so small, people used to hide it in the cupboard. Hazrat says, he went from a dawat somewhere, went to a dawat from somebody's house, so they sat down to eat, so he told the host, the next time I come here, I don't want to see her again. But get her out from here. The host is talking, who are you talking about, is it? He said, every time I come here, she got a parada on, next time she must get out. He said, who are you talking about? He said, about your TV. Every time I come, you put parda on her. The TV room is niqab al parda. Next time I come, I don't have parda to show you out. So if you think about it, before, people had it now ducked in the cupboard. TV was there. Right? They had the whole photo album of the engagement and proposal and the mendi and the sarbat and everything else. All the photos, they had it in the book. It was kept one side. They all had anniversaries and the honeymoon, everything. As I see, like two monkeys sitting on the moon eating honey. They had all the pictures now filed away. Every anniversary they take out and they see and they show the children. So if that person had to meet accident anywhere and passed away, his whole khazana and treasure of all his gunas are where? At home. But there's hope now, like how the Salihin, that person, he left his home and he passed away halfway between Qariyatul Salihin, the pious people's place, etc. So they measured. Right, so he was on his way to make Tawbah. So here now, before, we had all the gunas at home. The person had to die and root, he read his dua before he left home. Sat in the car, he read his dua also. Alright? But his hope life will pass away, Allah will make maghfirat. But in our zamana, where's all the gunas? It's all in the pocket. Full sale is there. All the albums, all the clips. Everything is there. And what are you making? You're making imamat. You're making imamat. Or you're saying the trustees are giving us hard time. But how can we do this? Everything is right in the pocket there. How are we going to make imamat? How are we reading namaz? There's a whole khazana is sitting in the pocket. The mother will move this to come. What are we going to do? One boy wrote to me and he says, Mawala, I have a habit of listening to music. And I like to go to the movies. But I know Malakul Maut can come anytime. And I heard that before Malakul Maut comes, you'll have a feeling he's coming. I heard, like, you know, you sense it like 40 days before, that now, soon your time is up. But I know it's going to happen anytime. So when I'm listening to music, I will listen one ear, other ear I'm listening in case he comes. And he said, when I'm sitting, when I go to the movies, I look for the exit door first, and I sit near the exit door. But I know it's not going to happen, but I'm hoping he might just tell me before that, so I get a chance to run out. I'm sure it happens to many of us. It can happen any time. But I think I'll be safe. I'll just talk about that time quickly and get away. It won't happen. It won't happen like that. But this youngster now, he said, I know it's not going to happen like that, but you see Nafs and Shaitan, all the ta'wilat, all the Nafs and Shaitan can pacify you. Don't worry. We'll cover you. When he has to come now, we'll cover, we'll give you time. Don't worry. But it won't happen like that. You can drop any time. Any time it can happen. That's why, just sending that one clip, one button, send, broadcast the one clip. Does your individual guna, you saw the clip. Like you sending it to how many people? 10 people. They're sending it to 10. They're sending it to 10. And who's sitting with the guna? Banda, you're sitting with the guna. The sin is all mine. The day of Qiyamah, I'm going to answer my own gunas first of all. They must carry all of their gunas also. So it shouldn't be like that. Stop it immediately. Fafirru ila Allah says that Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam is enticed in that room by the beautiful woman. He turned around and he ran. They say that all the doors were locked. One by one the doors began to open. And from where to Allah Ta'ala took him as a slave boy, staying in somebody's home, Allah Ta'ala took him to the throne of Egypt. That youngster in this zamana also in this time, they will take the courage. Allah Ta'ala has given us the courage in the heart. Allah Ta'ala has given us the courage in the heart that we can do mad things. Especially Hafiz boys, if you go to any school, from experience I ask many people, I ask many youngsters that in your class, who's a naughtiest boy? Say, Ma, the Hafiz boy. The Hafiz boy. The other teachers say, you know, his face got like a different thing with him. You know, like how you see in Jumbo, he got malplak. He'll do anything. In Durban, in school, there, they find toilets blown up. They find doors ripped out. I ask him, what happened here? He said, no, they did me to do it. So I did it. What are you Quran in your heart? Then you think, but why the Hafiz boy? Because there's so many shayatin behind him also. There's so many shaitans behind him. And all Hafiz boy has to say, where there's no mal, there's no chore. Where there's mal, something valuable, you find chore and thieves over there. The Hafiz boy has Quran in his heart. But the chore of shaitan and nafs are there behind him. He'll do it. He has a cuteness on his face because of Quran in his heart. He'll know all the mad things. He'll do it. Shaitan is behind him. So how important it is now for him to preserve his iman and his Quran Sharif. So here as it says now, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ when the temptation comes. When the temptation comes at that time, make your mind blank and numb. And run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I promise you at that time, when the thought will come, that I want to talk to her, I want to make contact, I want to do this haram, I want to go on that site. I promise you at that time, you stop. I make a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, I will give this guna of mine up at this moment, but I make a deal with you. In exchange for this, Allah, you give me something. I remember years ago, we gave one ishtima here in Roshni. And it was a Saturday night. And Durban boys come to Johannesburg, like a new country for them. It's all everything is now. You're far from home, you have money in your pocket, who's going to stop you? Foreigners know. In foreign land, nobody knows you. So they come now to Johannesburg, they came for the ishtima, the Saturday evening, and all the boys are coming lift from the ishtima. The guy find boys over here coming lift now. Allah jani where they're going to. But that time, they should always go to the movie houses. So I remember the youngster were together. And he says, you know what, all the chummies are gone. How are you going to go? I said, you know what, you can carry on. He said, no, I won't go. Inshallah, I remember his words, he said, Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will take me somewhere better. So he didn't go. 2 years later, Allah Ta'ala took him for Umrah. First time in his life, he came back. He joined the effort of Da'wah. He changed his life. Whereas one time he was a ringleader in his school. He was a ringleader of all the naughty boys. He was the operator. Changed his life. He went in Jamaat, became an alim, and now he's operating in the Sunnah of Deen in the world. Just one at that moment, I promise you what deal you will make with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one Jamaat Sadi here in Johannesburg. When we 1 year Jamaat, we met him. He's giving me his car guzari. He's always in the shab guzari also. So I met him there driving. And every bayan should be right in front. Even though today, under the speaker's nose. So I asked him, how you came 4 months? And he came 4 months. He said, Mawlana, I was a hardcore drug addict. By day and night I was wasted completely. He said, I'm telling you, Mawlana, you feel good. You feel good, you feel nice. That I won't lie to you. After you take it, you feel nice. You're in a different world altogether. But anyway, the brothers used to come to my home, taking me 3 days, 24 hours here. I did all of that, but I just could not give it up. He says, then they made my tashkil for 4 months, and I came. He says, I came to Raimin. In tahajjud namaz, I got up and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, that enjoyment I find in taking drugs. If you give me that enjoyment in your name, in bayan, in ta'alim, I will give it up. He said, the next morning I said in the bayan, he said, well, I can't explain to you the butterflies in my stomach. Millions of butterflies. He said, what ecstasy I was finding, I didn't find the real the tablet. He said, what I was feeling, I'm looking at the people, they're not feeling anything. He said, every bayan, I said, the excitement I get, he said, I can't explain to you. That's why I can't sit in the back, I could sit in the front. To enjoy that bayan. I feel it in my stomach, in my heart. That was the deal he made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the deal we've got to make with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, every one of us, every one of us, there's one guna, one sin. The shaitan has opened the door, it's destroying us. Everything is alright, my namaz and carrying on, my zikr, my Quran. But this one thing is finishing me. I'm trying, I come right a little while, then I slip again, then I try again a little while. Then finally I come to a stage where I think, now, hey, this is my life. This is who I am, I can't get out of it. I'm doomed. This is my life, Allah Ta'ala knows me now, that this is my weakness. I can't get out of it. I promise you, you can get out of it. There were so many in the history of Islam, and presently also, that wherever they were involved in what vice, what gunas, what sins. But just stay in the company of the pious. Let's say, pare rehna. Look, pare rehna. Like a dead corpse, just lie there. And then too you'll get benefit. But go with open heart. We have mashayikh around us. It will show us the way how to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and very quickly we can reach them. Very quickly, and I tell you what enjoyment you will get. What enjoyment you will get when you understand complete deen. The zikr of Allah, ifran, tilawat, in salah. What you will enjoy, you won't get anywhere else. Whether you be in sports, whether you be in Hajj, all this is now we by the way enjoyment. But this enjoyment you will get, we had one something in Stanger, my hometown. It was also on drugs on time. But Ramadan time, Ajib used to be clean in Ramadan. All Ramadan, no drugs. So one day, he called him home. I said, how's it going? Okay. He says, Maulana, month of Ramadan, I don't need any drugs. Two rakats namaz, I'm there already. Two rakats namaz and I'm there. I don't need anything after that. Nallah, and he passed through Ramadan also. He passed through Ramadan. So these are people out there, where I'm telling you that one guna that is stopping us, preventing us. We can become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person has the potential, has the courage, has the guts. Every one of us, especially students and the youth of the ummah, what guts we have, we know what we can do with. Whether we can scale walls with barbed wire, we can do it. How we can make plans around things, we can do it. We know that. We had one sati here in the madrasa also, he should bring some kurtas to sell from overseas, they used to be overweight. So I said, how do you bring everything down? He said, I wear five kurtas. I wear five kurtas and I come through. Tell him I feel very cold. But there's a plan, you can make a plan. With the courage of Allah back, he's given us the courage. And how to make plans. But you see, shaitan makes us brain dead. Makes us, when it comes to deen and solutions, we become brain dead. See, we had on Dr. Aboud. Dr. Aboud is from Qatar, or from Iraq originally. Was a very one of the top 10 scientists in America. So he came once in Jamaat. So we're sitting in the Mashwara. So when they asked him for his suggestion for Israel, he put his head down and began to think. It was a simple Mashwara. After that I asked, he said, Doctor Saab, so long are you taking to think? He says, in this whole 40 days I made my mind up. He says, you see, when a youngster, my example, a youngster or any person, when you want to purchase something, example, you will purchase a cell phone. Alright? I will just tell you, S3, what speed your mind works. You know all the features. How many megapixel camera, how many this, what this. S4, you know. S5, about to come out. Alright? All these features are, at what speed the mind is working. But you see, when it comes to deen, then we are brain dead. Then we can't think. Like when we were in Jamaat also, we asked the youngsters, what time is breakfast? So what they'll say? Half past 9 o'clock. What time is Talim? Not breakfast. The one Sati will say after breakfast. You see? So what time is after breakfast? They ask next Sati, what's your suggestion? Or whatever he said. Ask that one. So when it comes to that now, everybody is brain dead. But when it came to Chow, all say 9, half past 9. That all the minds are working. So when it comes to solutions in deen, we have the courage. And Allah Pak has given us the solutions. So this time that we have, this youth, what we invest now is what we'll enjoy later on. Now what we will invest, we'll enjoy later on. At that time I told you, at that moment of time, make a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, give this up. You give me something in exchange, and I tell you, whichever you be in varsity also, you be in madrasa also, what work of deen Allah ta'ala will take from you. You won't have to put yourself forward. Because that passion that you sacrifice in your young days for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah ta'ala will give you in return later on in life, that I can't explain to you. How it will happen, how doors will open up for you, whether deen or dunya, that Allah will do with you what Sidul Qurban you will make now. But to build this courage in the heart, to build it, we have to sit by the mashayikh. Sit by them for a period of time with open hearts. With open hearts, and very, very important, whether it be our asatidah, whether it be mashayikh also. You know, we learn the beautiful thing in Jamaat. Especially, I'm sharing this with the students of the madrasa. One of the Misab told us, he says, remember, that if you are in Jamaat, and you know certain asatis in your Jamaat don't like a certain alim, but maybe you are bad to him. He says, don't speak about him here, because you will cause him to be a jibat. Although you love that alim, but they don't have inclination towards him. So don't become a means of them making ghibat. Because you are closing the doors of to deen. So here being the madrasa, whether you attach to Hazrat Muhammad bin Hamid sahab, Mufti Mutara sahab, or Sheikh sahab, whatever, we have love for everyone and respect for everyone. In the madrasa, I know they use certain terms sometimes for Maulana, for the dawn, whatever it is, all these are very dangerous. These terms are very, especially our sahab, these are short names and short terms, etc. Very detrimental. And boys have the habit also imitating sometimes. These are the Ustaz talks and the little one talks. Very detrimental. That's why it's best we've got to watch what we speak, what we think. Like I was saying, you put a khinzir and a pig in a rose garden, he look for the filth. We're sitting in rose gardens, why look for the filth? Why look for all these things over here? And close our doors. But therefore have our hearts open. And link ourselves to one sheikh. And I tell you very shortly, you reach some stage in your life where you never thought that you can do it. But Allah Ta'ala will take you. Allah Ta'ala will take you. And just to conclude about the Muhammad bin Qasim, rahmatullah alayhi, a young boy who was sent to India, Pakistan, he always spread deen over there. He set up his own government over there. And what loyal courtiers he had to him. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was here in Makkah al-Mukarramah in Saudi. When he saw what was happening there in India and Pakistan, what a regime he set up. He felt threatened over here. A young boy, 17, 18 years old. What he set up over there. What loyal men he had behind him. Hajjaj felt threatened over there. That if he has to send troops over here, they'll walk over us. So he summoned him back. He summoned Muhammad bin Qasim. I told him about a young boy, 17, 18, but how mature upstairs. What he was thinking, what figure he had. Setting up a whole, as it says nowadays, we can't run on maktab also. We can't do imamah properly. He has a whole government set up. So he summons him back to Hijaz. So his courtiers tell him, his men tell him, he says, Muhammad, if you go back, you know what's going to happen to you. You're already a threat to him. Look at the answer he gives. He says, if I don't go back, Hajjaj will send an army against us, and I will not declare jihad. It's better I lose my life than losing all your people's life. I better go back. See, before he reached 20, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, when he came back, imprisoned him, before he reached 20, already he was made shaheed. What maturity of mind. What maturity of mind. But today we are stuck with the Wii, PSP. Azan is green, TV is on. We can't give it up. Azan is green, but we can't give it up. What we do, lesser of the two evils is a nice way out. We put the volume off. But the picture is playing, Azan is green. We pay his Muslims. Therefore see who they were, how they got it, and where they got it from. And I tell you, we can do it also. We can do it also. You and I, as young men of the Ummah, we can do it, and we are the fashion setters and trendsetters. We can do it. All we got to do is follow in what our Kabir are telling us. We were also in your stage one time, where we had Ishkal to work, Kurta to wear, what to do, what this kind of topi, and then we all went through it already. End of the day, we put our head down, we say, Sami'na wa ta'ana. What the elders are saying, what Hassan Dokrat Sahib to tell the students, say, Baro ki baat hai, baro samajhte hai. Baro ki baat hai. That big people's talks, big people understand. Like somebody tells me now, I don't understand what he's saying. He says, by saying, I don't understand what he's saying, is already your answer because your mind is not big enough to understand. What do you say now? Out of pride, no, what he's talking. Why they're talking big things? Like Hazrat says now, we have the Bali boys sitting together, big boys. And then what they're talking about? Talking about she and her. And you hear a young boy sitting there, he says, where's the marbles, man? Where's the toys? Why are you talking all good things there? You're talking about toys. He doesn't know the enjoyment of that. Isn't it? He doesn't know the enjoyment. We also want to be talking about toys and PSP, but now we're talking about girls. You talk to him, you say, no, you're not interested to me. Give me some toys at least. So as I say, the big people are talking big things. What we are talking, toys. But we think, this is the thing. So all we're going to do, just keep all of that. Keep all of that, and I tell you, take advice from them. You see, every 5 years your mind matures. Every 5 years your mind matures. When you are now 18 years old, you look back 5 years, all of you look back 5 years ago. And look at the things that you used to do and used to say. But what you thought, I was the hottest kid on the block. Senior sitting there, what I said, what I did, I thought I was sharp. Now when I look back, I think I was a real fool. Come 21, 25, you look back 5 years, you say, you know what, I thought I was really hot at the time. Now I look like a fool. As we go on, look back in life, we think that it is a really foolish things. When you put your hand in their hands, you'll pass all these foolish stages. And you'll mature so quickly that I tell you by the time you're 20, 25, you'll be running a masjid. Or you'll be on your own. Masjid-e-Hilal, in the last month we had Dr. Hansa Sahab. Dr. Hansa Sahab is a Khalifa Hazrat Masula Khan Sahab Rahmatullahi. He's a dentist. He's a dentist. What we'll call now in ulama term, dunya dar admi. The dunya dar admi. But ulama are reverting to him. He's a sheikh of the tasawwuf. Ulama are reverting to him. Bayan here, bayan there. He's a dentist. But because he put his hand in somebody's hand. If you do the same thing also, I tell you by the time you're 20, 25, you can be running a masjid. People who are 60 years old will come to you for mashwara. 20-year-old boy, but they see the maturity in you. When they look at you, they see Abdul Hamid Sahib, they see Sheikh Sahib, they see Mutara Sahib. They see the color and the rang on you. But today we're going out, they don't know whether we can take the Muli Sahib or not. Our Patel Sahib was saying, the one Alim came, he started to work. He says, well, before I start to work over here, he came with the old year's calendar. I was so many weeks off, and I want this holiday. See, you didn't start to work, he said, you want holiday. Start to work first, and then we'll see after that. Then he said, I want so much of pay. And when the baby came after that, he told them, my diapers are expensive, I want another increase. He said, but you hardly committed yourself as yet. But I tell you, you commit yourself now. Whether you be in the madrasa or out of the madrasa. Now, Dr. Saab, ulama are reverting to mashwara. The person who is sitting in a practice doing dentistry, ulama in the field of deen are reverting to him, Hazrat, what do I do in my masjid? How do I handle this case and that case? You'll be only 20, 25, people will come with the problems. I had one now recently, a couple came home to conclude, inshallah. A couple came home for counseling. So the son-in-law called me. He said, Maana, I'll bring my in-laws for counseling. I said, your in-laws? Yeah, they got some problem. I said, alright, no problem. Tuesday night is free, bring them Tuesday night. What problem they having? He said, they got some own problem, whatever it is. So I asked, how long they married now? He said, 60 years. I said, 60 years? They should be counseling me. The man is 80 plus and the upper is 70 plus. But they're coming now to a small lighty like me for counseling. But they came, they sat over there, and the Mota put me in a spot too. He said, Maulana, you tell me something. What is the haysiyat? What is the position of a disobedient wife? I said, Maridi, I'm already husband. What am I telling you now? Starting already like that. But I tell you, from a young age, you put your hand into their hand, and you go out into the world, whether you be in whatever field you are. People will see the color in you. Dr. Abdul Haysab Rahmatullah Ali, who was a sheikh of Taqi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He wasn't an alim. He was a hakim, he was a doctor. But look, Taqi Sahib took back to him. So whatever field you may be, this Allah Pak has given us such a field, you put your hand in somebody's hand, very quickly they'll pull you. Allah Ta'ala give us the fit of an amal, inshaAllah.